Okay, I am now going to read a couple of Mum's favorite scriptures. She wrote these down as ones that she wanted to have read at her funeral. The first one is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word, what we see created by what we don't see. The next one is Isaiah 65, verses 17 to 25. Pay close attention now. I'm creating new heavens and a new earth. All the earlier troubles, chaos, and pain are things of the past, to be forgotten. Look ahead with joy. Anticipate what I'm creating. I'll create Jerusalem as sheer joy, create my people as pure delight. I'll take joy in Jerusalem, take delight in my people. No more sounds of weeping in the city, no cries of anguish. No more babies dying in the cradle or old people who don't enjoy a full lifetime. 100th birthdays will be considered normal. Anything less will seem like a cheat. They'll build houses and move in. They'll plant fields and eat what they grow. No more building a house that some outsider takes over. No more planting fields that some enemy confiscates. For my people will be as long-lived as trees. My chosen ones will have satisfaction in their work. They won't work and have nothing come of it. They won't have children snatched out from under them. For they themselves are plantings blessed by God, with their children and grandchildren likewise God-blessed. Before they call out, I'll answer. Before they finish speaking, I'll have heard. Wolf and lamb will graze the same meadow. Lion and ox eat straw from the same trough. But snakes, they'll get a diet of dirt. Neither animal nor human will hurt or kill anywhere on my holy mountain, says God.
Begin the message this morning. I have some of my fellow clergy who couldn't be here today, who wanted to be here, and they've sent their expressions of comfort to the family. Henny was a good friend and a wonderful elder at Dune Church. She was very regular in her visiting and not afraid to express her opinions, either in session meetings or in Bible studies. While she was firm in what she believed and often seemed set in her ways, she was also eager to learn and clearly thought deeply about her faith. She was not afraid or hesitant to challenge me in my ministry, but was also a good listener. She often showed that she understood the frustrations and ups and downs of ministry, and I knew that she prayed for me as I ministered there. I thank God that I got to know Henny, and I know that she is safely in the Lord's care. Grace and peace, Angus Sutherland. Another one, dear beloved, I have had an opportunity to worship with Henny years ago as she attended Calvin Presbyterian some winter Sundays. In the last few months, as I was visiting with her at the hospital and often at Innisfree, I noticed that she was preparing herself to return home. Home to God's glory. As she told me about her days were numbered, we had very uplifting conversations about grace and salvation. Based on her questions, we overviewed the grace proclaimed in our Savior Jesus Christ, his immeasurable love, and about his free grace, for which Jesus had already paid with his whole life. And he was in peace about her departure because she knew that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our salvation. She kept the faith, and her faith kept her. For this reason, I can say that Henny is surely home with our Lord, whom she loved and served. Henny has now entered into a new home where she's able to see those real things which she only saw through her faith. Those things which were invisible to her eyes now are visible to her. Dear Marjorie, Larry, and Ethan, may the Lord bless you as you say your last farewell to your mother, mother-in-law, and your grandmother. And that's from Reverend Frank St. Mary at Calvin. In my short ministry here, I've been so grateful to Henny in so many ways. I'm grateful for our many hours of conversation, her encouragement and her friendship. As Bev pointed out, she loved church music and she had a great knowledge of church music and the appropriate hymn for the appropriate moment. And she certainly loved her Bible. She knew the Word of God. And this is evident in the wonderful passages that she has chosen for us this morning. And in our many coffees over the last 5 years, our many coffees together, we would discuss a particular passage in light of one or other issues of the day. You see, Henny lived out her faith. She lived it out loud. She had a great heart for the poor and for those struggling in the world. I remember one particular time I was visiting her, probably 10 weeks ago when she was in St. Mary's. She was worried about the Rohingya refugees in Myanmar and how they were being forced out of their homes. And she was crying over how mothers with children were being forced out at gunpoint or even worse. But she said, you know, she knew that humanity is sometimes the cruelest animal on the planet. And then she wondered out loud why God would allow this. But we'd always come back around as we searched through the Word, come back around to the power of God's Word and the mercy that God shows His weakest creatures. You know, in those many coffee clatches in the latter days, I would bring over a couple of Tim Hortons to her place over in Highland Crescent. Before that, she would brew some coffee for me. And we'd sit around, we'd solve the world's problems many times over in those meetings. But it seems that the UN never got our emails. But personally, she felt that God had shown great mercy to her and that her calling, although sometimes challenging and sometimes things were scarce, was to raise her family as best that she could. And I say, looking out into the congregation today, I would tell her, well done, Mom, you did a great job. And we had many conversations, Henny and I, about family. She would update me on the latest news of each grandchild, where each son or daughter's next trip was going to be, or family event that was coming up, and most recently who had just bought the electric car that she had to check out. You see, her family was her pride and joy. And I would say it was her greatest accomplishment. And like all mothers and grandmothers, she hoped for the very best for her family. She loved you all dearly, and we prayed for you each and every time that we were together, even the very last time. Now, Henny also had a listening ear, as Angus mentioned in his note to us. And I'm sure that she's standing this morning in the presence of Christ, her Savior, who's also listening. No doubt she's interceding on your behalf at this very time. And she also shared many of her stories, especially of wartime in Holland, of the times during the war, the challenges of her parents to provide food. Stories about friends called off to war and stories of people she knew that never returned. And she emailed her sister in Holland daily. They'd emailed back and forth. And I'm sure that Henny loved her as if she was in her own home. And in all of this, her faith was that of a God who was a protecting God in the challenging times. It was the same God who would one day bring us all together again. That is the faith in a God unseen, but a God who is visible in every valley and on every mountaintop. A hope in the resurrection promise of Christ, who assured us that we should not let our hearts be troubled. For if we believe in God, he says, we also believe in him. Ours is a home in our Father's house, where Jesus prepares a place for us, so that Jesus will come back and take us to be with him. Friends, Henny's faith was the certain faith of a child of Christ. She knew her calling. She was a child of the Most High God with the gifts and the grit to live life to the fullest in that valley and on that mountaintop. To live a life in faith and love for her family and for her neighbor. For me personally, Henny was also a good friend, a good comforter. Her certain faith strengthened my faith through the challenges I was facing in dealing with my own mother's health situation and my own recent health challenges. She was a friend both to Olive and myself, encouraging us in the valleys and the first to celebrate with us on the mountaintops. Now, I've never done this before, but I have a special message for a non-human this morning. Miopi. Miopi and Petey were also part of our conversations. And I remember Miopi would sit there in his basket or curled up on the floor with her toys, close at hand in the conversations, almost as if she was listening. And she would sometimes echo her mother's sentiments with a murmur or a bark. Henny loved Miopi dearly, and Miopi returned the love. Even in the last hours when Miopi kissed her mom goodbye for now. Now, there's a debate in theology, as if we have nothing else to worry about. There's a debate in theology of whether or not there are animals in heaven. And it's we Calvinists that seem to be the one debating it. But we just saw in that passage from Isaiah that was read to us by Marjorie that we read that the wolf and the lamb will feed together and the lion will eat straw like the ox. And that answers the question. A restored Garden of Eden will have plenty of Miopis and Petis. Henny always had that certain faith, as expressed in our first passage today. The fundamental fact is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle. It's how we understand what we can't see. By faith, we see the world around us called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. And you know, it's remarkable how we see God's creation. A couple of weeks ago on a Saturday, myself and Henny were talking about flowers. Someone had brought Henny an orchid, and it was on the sideboard in her room at Innisfree, and I remarked how beautiful the orchid looked. I said, you know, it's probably the most beautiful flower in the world. Henny said, no. So here we go. Where are we going to go on this one? She said, in her faint voice, she said, dandelions. Dandelions are the most beautiful flower. They're the most beautiful flower for a mother. Dandelions are the most beautiful flower for a child when they're given to their mother out of pure love and joy. Now, let's be honest. A lot of people here don't like dandelions. But they are beautiful when you think about it. Beautiful to a child, to a mother, even to a bumblebee. They are beautiful. If you don't think they're beautiful, at least admit they are remarkable. And if you don't think they're remarkable, at least admit they are plentiful. In early spring, dandelions make this beautiful, brilliant blanket of color against the newly green grass. Some use dandelions and salads. Other folks make wine from the flower. And who hasn't here picked up a bunch of dandelions and probably given it to their mothers or their girlfriends or their wives or their grandmothers? Who hasn't also with great glee blown the milky white seeds across the yards? That's why they're plentiful. The dandelion is the first to bloom in the spring. It's the last to die in the fall. It pushes its head up through the tiniest cracks of hard, dry asphalt. Come to my place if you want proof. It can withstand a hard frost. It's also one of the few plants that will survive snow. Regardless of how we feel about the dandelion, the one thing we can agree on, that it's tenacious. And I cannot think of a better quality for life and faith than this tenacity. I think that's what Henny was trying to tell me when she said, no, dandelions are the most beautiful flower. Hanging in there, even thriving through the daily grind, sometimes against difficult odds. Even when life is going well, we need tenacity to keep us from apathy, from being less enthusiastic and grateful for all the blessings we have in life. Now, I did a little more research on dandelions. In fact, the congregation of Doom be forewarned, I have done a lot of research on dandelions, and I'll be sharing that with you. I did not know that they were the single greatest source of beta carotene in any plant. Greatest single source of iron, calcium, magnesium, vitamins B, C, E, P, and D, phosphorus, iron, copper, cobalt, zinc, and one that I cannot pronounce. Now, they taste bitter, and I think Henny would agree with me that Stroop waffle and croquettes still are tastier. I think she knew the real beauty of dandelions. She knew the real beauty of people, of the poor, of refugees. She had a certain faith in a God who was still with her until Sunday afternoon, and a God who is with her now. This was her handle on what we can't see. So the next time you see a dandelion, look at it differently as a blessing from God, of a flower that has many of the same great qualities as Henny. Look at the dandelion as Henny did, and as I now do, and the greatest qualities as having the greatest qualities we should have in life. I want to close with my last memory of Henny. And it'll probably be one of my greatest. It was a time of laughter and joy. A week ago yesterday. Approximately. A couple of members of the choir, who shall remain nameless, who are with us this morning, grinning, hello, were there as well, and they were describing to us, and I didn't know what Bev talked about, her nickname being Sarge, until that day. And they were telling me how, and I think it was because, not so much because Henny was bossy, but perhaps because the choir, I understand, was so unruly, and they needed to have a Sarge. But she was telling us the story of how she made her croquettes, and we were going to put it in the cookbook. Now, I can't go into detail on the recipe, but it was an interesting way of looking at how the beef that went into the item was cooked. And we were all laughing and joking. So I remember as I was leaving, Henny was sitting up in the bed and she was laughing and a big smile on her face. And I stopped at the door and I saluted her and I said, "See you soon, Sarge." And I know I will. One day, all the compassionate and loving children of the living God, the disciples of Christ, will be united once more, as Isaiah says. We should look ahead with joy. Anticipate what I'm creating. I'll create Jerusalem as sheer joy. Create my people as pure delight. I'll take joy in Jerusalem. Take delight in my people. No more sounds of weeping in the city. No cries of anguish. We can take comfort today that Henny is safe in the arms of Jesus with no cries of anguish, no weeping, no pain, no more sadness. I picture her perhaps with a handful of dandelions, given to her by a child, or perhaps a childhood friend that she has met, or her father. And perhaps even with a big bag of cheesies as well. Living in complete joy, with a great big smile at peace, surrounded in perfect love. Amen.